This show was previously recorded, and we will not be taking calls.
This is Childhood Matters, presented by Interactive Parenting Media.
Childhood Matters.
For parents and everyone else who cares for or about kids.
We are the family. Get up, everybody, and sing.
Here's your host, Rona Renner.
Good morning and welcome to Childhood Matters. In honor of Mother's Day, today's show is a book club show on the joy of pregnancy. In preparing for the show, I thought back to my first pregnancy 40 years ago. I loved being pregnant and still remember how the sun was shining the day I went into labor and how amazed I was that I was going to be a mother. The entire process of pregnancy and birth was nothing like I imagined. I felt everything deeply. Fear, joy, lack of control, physical aches and pains, love, and profound uncertainty of what it would be like to care for a baby. I'm Nurse Rona. I'm here each week to present important topics to parents, parents-to-be, grandparents, foster parents, child care providers, big sisters, big brothers, or anyone who cares for and about children. You know, some women spend a lot of time reading all about pregnancy and childbirth and have regular visits to a medical professional. And there are some women who, due to life circumstances, don't get prenatal care until many months into the pregnancy, or who may have stressful lives that put them and their children at risk. There's a lot of information and support that can make a big difference during a pregnancy. And today, we'll talk with women about their experiences. Today's show is pre-recorded, so we won't be taking your call. Joining us in the studio is Tori Kropp. She's a perinatal nurse and the author of The Joy of Pregnancy, the complete, candid, and reassuring companion for parents-to-be. Tori has delivered thousands of babies at the California Pacific Medical Center in San Francisco, where she's worked for nearly two decades. In 1990, after observing that pregnant women were coming into the hospital more and more worried and anxious about labor, Tori founded a unique pre- and postnatal teaching program called Pillow Talk, Modern Childbirth Education, teaching women not to overwhelm themselves with information and to focus instead on trusting their bodies and enjoying their pregnancies. Tori also started a community website, Stork Site, for the expectant and new parents, and the site became one of the Internet's first successful communities. Tori Kropp, welcome to Childhood Matters.
It's great to be here, Rona.
Really nice to meet you. You know, your book is very user-friendly, and there's lots of information without being too overwhelming. Why were you moved to write a book for pregnant women with so many books already being on the bookshelves?
You know, what I found is when women were coming in labor, they had read some of those books that were on the bookshelves. And some of the most popular ones, and even still today, some of the most popular ones, caused a lot of fear for them. Very alarmist and full of all the things that could go wrong. So what I found is when they came in labor, they were still ill-prepared. They really weren't ready to just take on the day. So I wanted to give them something that was much more common sense and that was much softer in terms of giving them the information.
Yeah, and again, it's real easy to read, and I like your tone and the pictures and a lot of good things in this book. So thank you for doing it. Yeah. Also joining us in studio today is Natalie Burbick. She is a program manager with Brighter Beginnings in Richmond, where she oversees the Black Infant Health Program in Contra Costa County. This program focuses on outreach, tracking, and referrals to social services for African-American women who are pregnant and parenting. She's facilitated prenatal and postpartum support groups for her clients and believes in strengthening communities of color by serving families who are struggling with the stressors of poverty, institutionalized racism, and barriers to quality education, health care, and employment. Natalie has engaged in various leadership positions in volunteer and professional organization, and she's an advocate for underprivileged children and families. She has a master's in social work from the University of Michigan. Natalie Burbick, so glad you could join us.
Thank you for having me, Rona.
It's great to see you again. So I think, you know, you reach out to families who are stressed and you support them in raising healthy babies. In the prenatal groups that you do, what are some of those kind of key questions or fears that you hear most often from moms-to-be?
Well, most of the moms who are participants in the Black Infant Health Program in Richmond are underprivileged or they may be low income. So a lot of their stressors are related to being able to meet the immediate needs of their children once they get here. And a lot of them, you know, express that during groups. So one of the major concerns is, you know, being able to make sure that you have appropriate housing, being able to ensure that you're able to be consistent with your prenatal care if you're moving around a lot because you don't have a stable home environment. It's difficult to identify a medical home and make sure that you're getting connected to the services that you need. So plenty of the mothers come with a lot of those concerns of being able to care for themselves so they can have a healthy and happy pregnancy and then, you know, have their child born into a more stable environment than they may have experienced.
So they're really dealing with a lot of the basic stuff like shelter, food,
yes,
care.
Absolutely.
And then I'm sure there's also just the fears about their changing bodies and and what's going on.
Oh yeah. A lot of the mothers, not all of them, but they're pretty young and you know, it's pretty much a shock to see how rapidly your body is, you know, evolving, you know, and how to deal with that, you know, when you're dealing with some other stressors.
Well, I think the group setting is a wonderful place for pregnant women to be talking with each other.
And, absolutely.
You know, you've done online communities too, Tori, and another way for parents to talk with each other. And have you run groups also for parents?
Yes, yeah. Certainly have with postpartum also, and certainly in the classes, lots of concerns and questions came up.
Yes, getting people prepared for childbirth. Well, you know, it's a book club show. We sent out books to a whole lot of women out there, and they're going to be joining us. Some of them are joining us by phone this morning. So to start off, we have Leslie, and she's joining us from Oregon. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Rona. Hi, Tori.
Hi.
Love the show. Thank you so much.
And you, how did you find us? Was it online or?
You know, I did. I was a lot of times I can't catch the show when it's aired, but I do enjoy the podcast. So that's kind of how I find you guys.
Wonderful. And what would you like to say either about the book or any questions you have about pregnancy? And are you pregnant now?
Well, I'm not pregnant, but we are planning on extending our family in the near future. And I thought the book was absolutely great. I have a daughter that's 21 months. And this book is organized so well that it makes it so easy to find the info that I need easily. And love the lists in the back. They're so helpful. And also the tips are so great. And the Dad's Corner is really easy to read for your partner. So my question, though, is how do I keep the joy of pregnancy with the demands of a toddler?
Go ahead, Tori.
Well, certainly with a first baby, you know, it's all-consuming. You don't have another little being running around the house, so there's so much focus on the pregnancy, and now things are really different. You know, each pregnancy is different, and you're going to find that you're going to probably be less focused on some of the things that you were focused on first time because you're really busy, you know, with your 21-month-old. So, in a way, your pregnancy may slide by a little bit more quickly, and you may not have nearly the same anxieties that you had the first time, kind of depending on what your first labor was like. Sometimes, you know, moms do know what it's like, so that can be either reassuring or a little bit scarier. But the good news is the second labor is generally a little bit easier than the first. But it's going to be different, and it's part of that growing your family. Your child's going to notice your changing body. That's a whole new experience. So I think you're going to find that it's going to be really wonderful in a very different way.
Great question. Natalie, what do you think?
I think the key is having support, you know, and identifying those people in your life that are available to give you a little respite when you need it. Because when you're pregnant, you're tired.
And definitely.
You definitely need to make sure that you're getting the rest that you need to address that fatigue that you may be periodically experiencing. And, you know, I think what's also important is if, you know, you have a younger child or a younger sibling, that you're trying to engage them into the process and get them, you know, prepared with, you know, to welcome their new sibling into the world and get them excited about it, you know. So I think those are some important points.
And I agree with both of you. And I also think, Leslie, that there's a way in which once a new baby is born, also, you know, a child sees that they're not the center of the universe. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good thing. You know, your first child, but it's really important right after a baby is born to make sure you have one-on-one time with your toddler. So let someone else hold the new baby while you have that special time with your toddler, because they think like, oh my God, you know, I used to be the center of the universe and I'm not anymore. And, you know, there's normal regression that goes on. And the support piece, you know, I had my first two kids were a year and a half apart, and it was really about having friends and other people to be with so we can sort of share the load. But it does flow naturally because you are more comfortable because you've been through it before. And yet every pregnancy is different. So I just want to wish you so much luck with you growing your family. Did you have any other questions?
No, that was pretty much it. I'm excited, and thank you so much for the book. I really, really enjoyed
it. You're very welcome.
Really nice to get to talk to you, Leslie.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's take another call now. With us this morning is Avis, and she's from Oakland. Hi, Avis.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. So you also got the book, The Joy of Pregnancy, right?
I did. And I have to agree with Leslie, the last caller, that I really enjoyed how it's organized, and I am pregnant right now with my second child.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, thank you very much to all of you as well, it sounds like. I really like sort of the level of information in that book. I think a lot of the, or some of the very popular pregnancy books these days, at least with my first pregnancy, had a tendency to make me a little paranoid that something might go wrong, just because they hit a lot of the problem areas kind of hard. And I found this book had a really nice tone to it and a really nice level. So I really like how it's organized as well. So
how's your pregnancy going?
It's going very well. I've been blessed with two fairly easy pregnancies, but similar to the discussion before, definitely the fatigue sets in a little more. I'm taking with it, I have a 2.5-year-old, so I notice being a lot more tired and
and
needing help. And my husband's been great about that and his family. So
that's great.
But definitely needed help, particularly in the first trimester.
I slept through my first trimester. So
I mean, I think this is the thing about reaching out.
Yes, caller.
Yeah.
About really getting engaging the older child into the pregnancy. You know, my daughter's very interested, and she seems fine with it. She's asking a lot of good questions. But I've read a little bit about involving the kids more, like taking them on a hospital tour, having them come visit the baby. And I was wondering your thoughts on what's the best way to approach those days right around delivery, to make the older child feel secure and included?
You know, it's a great question, and I think some of it has to do with, this is Rona speaking, and I'll pass it on to Tori too, your child's temperament. I just want to mention that right up. You know, I do a lot of work on temperament, and I think it's very important to realize that all children are very different in terms of their sensitivity and their curiosity, and we want to really take their lead a lot in it. And, you know, being able to show them where you're going to be is fine, but you don't want to show a very young child anything that's going to be scary. And really what you want to think about is the support system that they're going to have when you go into labor. Tori?
How old is your oldest child?
I'm in my seventh month.
And your other child is how old?
That's my only. She's 2.5 now. So
Two and a half.
Oh,
yeah.
I see. This is your second pregnancy. You know, a 2.5-year-old, really the amount of level of information is pretty simple. So, you know, a hospital tour for that age, probably not very valuable. What I find with families is to bring the baby in, or to bring your child in after the baby's born. You know, again, as we talked about last time, let her crawl up on the bed and have your husband hold the new baby. Sometimes families will have a little special event or a little present for the new baby, or dad, or for the older child.
Yeah.
And dad and the older child, while you're in the hospital, may go and do something special. Really simple information. Again, follow their lead. Some kids really worry, even at that young age. You can't talk a lot, so it's really more about reassuring them with comfort, because too many words for that age is just kind of goes over their head. So lots of nurturing.
Nellie?
I agree. I think nurturing is also key in welcoming the new sibling. I was reflecting back as you were talking about, you know, bringing the newborn home, and my nephew, who was 2.5 years old when his younger sister Chloe was born, and he was so excited when, you know, he went to the hospital and he met his sister, and then he went home with dad, and then mom came home with the newborn, and he freaked out.
Mm.
He balled up into the corner. He just started crying. He was having a little nervous breakdown.
Baby's coming home.
He thought the baby was going to stay at the hospital with mom and didn't realize that, you know, little Chloe was going to come home, and he didn't really understand. But that happened. That happened for about 20 minutes, and then, you know, me being, you know, the auntie, I sat with him down in the corner, and, you know, I was trying to talk to him about, you know, how excited we all are, and, you know, how this is going to be his little sister, and, you know, and just trying to comfort him and nurture him, you know, through that initial shock of not being the center of the
universe. That's right, and you can prepare for it, but you can be sensitive, and, again, get enough support so there are other people to hold the baby, and if you're a single parent, make sure you have people with you so that your arms are open for your other child, mm-hmm. and be prepared for them to go through a lot. Buy a little baby for them. A lot of kids like to have a little baby that they could then carry around. So there's a lot of things you can do by staying aware, sensitive, drink a lot, eat well so that your energy is kept up. And Ava's best of luck to you.
Great. Thank you all so much.
Thanks for calling. We're talking with people who read The Joy of Pregnancy, and we now have Han on the air with us from Napa. Good morning.
Good morning. And actually, I have my husband on the phone too, Roberto.
Han and Roberto, hello.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. And are you now pregnant, Han?
No, actually, I'm not pregnant. We were talking about it, and I saw on your website to join the book club. I'm like, oh, this will be
great
for it.
And are you thinking about growing your family?
Yeah, we're thinking about it, and just kind of getting to know all of the in and outs. I think we're just in the decision making part. So when I saw the book, I'm like, oh, this will be really interesting to read. Because some of the other books that I've kind of gone through was really cheesy, and, you know, talked about pregnancy as this euphoria, and it just, I didn't relate to it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
When I was kind of browsing through this one, it was definitely more down to earth.
Well, and that's the thing too, it's so hard to relate to pregnancy when you're not pregnant, right? I mean, isn't it, Tori? It's so hard to get a grasp of it.
It really is. It's also, I remember being pregnant and looking at women who had new babies and thinking, I'm going to be on that side soon. And I couldn't relate to that even, you know. And that's even really being around a lot of new babies and pregnant women. So it's really hard. And it's so nice to hear. I love when people find the book before they're pregnant or really early, because, you know, one of the reasons that I wrote the book really is because there was so much fear-based information out there. So it's really great to hear.
You know, we're about to go to a break, Han and Roberto. If you're willing to hang in there, I would love to see if you have any specific questions, especially you, Roberto, because it's so nice to have a papa on the line with us. So do you have a few minutes to hang on?
Sure, of course.
Okay, good. So we're going to take a break, and we're really looking forward to talking with you about thinking about becoming pregnant, about pregnancy, anyone who might be speaking with us today also about what it's like when you have another child. And on this Mother's Day, we just want to honor all mothers and the people in their lives who support them. And in a moment, we'll be talking with you.
This show was previously recorded, and we will not be taking calls.
You're listening to Childhood Matters.
Information for your kids.
For your family.
For you.
Give us a call now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
The conversation continues after this.
Here's this week's Childhood Matters community calendar with events for parents and kids. Support Los Altos Mountain View Schools at the Choral Fest in the Shoreline Amphitheater in Mountain View, Monday, May 10 from 5 to 8. For more information, call 650-917-6800. That's 650-917-6800. Join the Our Family Coalition and the Berkeley YMCA during LGBT Family Night to celebrate the diversity of all families in the Bay Area, Saturday, May 15 from 5 to 9. For more information, call 510-665-3238. That's 510-665-3238. Check out the Luther Burbank Rose Parade in Santa Rosa, Saturday, May 15 from 10 to noon. For more information, call 707-542-7673. That's 707-542-7673. Stroll the streets of San Anselmo during their Festival of Fun. There will be carnival rides, live music, face painting, and more. Saturday, May 15 from 10 to 9. For more information, call 415-454-8667. That's 415-454-8667. Learn more about working with children and families who have been exposed to violence in a free workshop at San Francisco St. Mary's Cathedral. Friday, May 21 from 1 to 4:30. Call now to register, 415-668-0494. That's 415-668-0494. Mark your calendars for the upcoming birth and baby fair in San Francisco. There will be informational booths, demonstrations, workshops, and more. Saturday, June 6 from 10 to 5. For more information, call 415-867-0291. That's 415-867-0291. For additional information and more events, visit our website, childhoodmatters.org. And to submit events, email info@childhoodmatters.org. I'm Zan West.
Children and families are hurting due to budget cuts to education and health care. Thousands have come to rely on Childhood Matters for weekly support about nutrition, discipline, adolescent issues, and maintaining strong, healthy families. For more than 7 years, we have built a virtual community of parents and caregivers and given them a voice in our community. Now we need your support. Nonprofits like ours are struggling to keep their doors open in this economic climate. If Childhood Matters is a valuable resource in your home, please join your fellow listeners in donating to our nonprofit by going to childhoodmatters.org and clicking on the Donate Now button or calling 877-372-KIDS. Any amount will go a long way in helping our children. With gratitude, I'm Nurse Rona.
This show was previously recorded and we will not be taking calls.
We continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
A very happy Mother's Day to all. We're talking with Tori Kropp, a perinatal nurse and the author of The Joy of Pregnancy, the complete, candid, and reassuring companion for parents-to-be, and Natalie Burbick. She's the program manager with Brighter Beginnings, the Richmond Center, where she oversees the Black Infant Health Program in Contra Costa County. And today's show is pre-recorded, so we won't be taking your call. It's a book club show, and we sent out Tori's book to parents grandparents and parents-to-be, and ask them to join us on the air today. If you have comments you want to make, you can join us on Facebook or send us an email at info@childhoodmatters.org. And we're talking right now with Han and Roberto in Napa, and as Natalie said on the break, they're in the contemplative state. So hi, Han and Roberto. Do you have a question?
I think I'll let Roberto go first.
Well, I had a comment on the book. I want to say I really like the Dad's Corner parts of it. Okay. It gave, you know, practical advice for would-be fathers and kind of dispelled a lot of, you know, small misconceptions that I had about, like, sex during pregnancy.
Yes, that's often, that is, yes, a big question, right?
Yeah, so I really enjoy that part of the book. I think it was, you know, very well written, very practical advice.
Thanks so much. And you know what I find is that a lot of times moms wish that their husband would read the same books they're reading, and a lot of times guys just aren't going to do that in a pregnancy. So I wanted to make things that were quick and easy and could give you some tips about how to be involved, how to help her, and not have it be overwhelming so you had to feel like you had to read the entire book.
And just so for people who are listening, since he brought up the question of sex and pregnancy, maybe you could say something about what you say in the book.
Sure. You know, sex is great. That's how you got pregnant, you know. And what's really important is that women go through all kinds of different changes throughout their pregnancy. So in the beginning, if she's feeling nauseated, you can be pretty certain that sleep and no sex is probably what she's most interested in. And oftentimes the second trimester, just based on hormone changes and the fact that she feels really good, that's oftentimes a real fun time for couples. And the third trimester, both mom and dad oftentimes go through body image changes. And for dad, sometimes it's a little disturbing. They're not sure, just because her body's very different. And for women, it can be a little bit more uncomfortable. So be creative, you know, just to know that unless there's a medical condition, right up until she feels like there's no more fun in it, you can certainly make love anytime during pregnancy.
And I was just wondering, Natalie, in the classes you do with Black Infant Health, does this come up a lot, this question?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a pretty candid group. And, yeah. They, you know, it's a safe, confidential space. So they definitely speak about you know, some of the challenges and, you know, having the desire to have sex more at certain stages of their pregnancy, you know, feeling concerned about whether or not they're meeting their partner's needs. That comes up a lot as well. So, yes, it comes up in the group, absolutely.
And I want to say it's the same issues that are important for also same-sex couples where one of the partners are pregnant. This is the kind of thing that sometimes finds, you know, it's hard to talk about, but very important. So thank you, Roberto, for bringing that up.
And, you know, let me mention also, I think a lot of times dads worry, are they going to hurt the baby? And it's really important to know that, no, you know, you're perfectly fine and safe as long as she's comfortable.
And as long as there's no sign of bleeding.
Absolutely.
Or anything else.
Right.
Roberto, did you have another question?
No, I think Han did, though.
Okay. Go ahead, Han.
So I wanted to say first that I really enjoyed the personal letters that you included in the book. I felt
Thanks.
Like I kind of related to other... I liked it that there were other people out there that I can relate to. So that was really awesome to read. And then my question is, I think we kind of touched on it before the break, was that you guys were saying how, oh, you know, this is such a unique experience. You can't really, you know, understand it until you go through it. And that's a lot of the things that I hear when I kind of, you know, tap into the brains of my friends who already had babies and whatnot. But I'm kind of wondering, well, when my body, some of the things that I feel pre-pregnancy would help me prepare to feel, you know, things that I would feel during pregnancy.
You know,
are there certain things that, you know, that I can experience pre-pregnancy that would help me during my pregnancy?
You know, I think the best thing is to be as healthy as you can before you get pregnant. You know, to just really take care of yourself, cut down on any bad habits you might have beforehand. But I've got to say, you know, I was one of those people who couldn't wait to be pregnant, and I had a girlfriend for whom the flowers smelled sweeter when she was pregnant, and when I got pregnant, I didn't have the most fun, I have to say. I was sick a lot, it wasn't, you know, and I was healthy, and I just had to roll with it. You know, it's really, my best suggestion is don't have a lot of expectations about how it should be and just accept kind of what comes, and it'll be your own unique experience.
And I also want to mention that there is a blog that you do. Yes. You want to tell people how to do that?
TheJoyOfPregnancy.com. I do a daily blog and answer questions there. So it's a great place to also be part of a community.
Great. Well, thank you both, Han and Roberto. And I hope that you'll be parents who are listening to our show and calling in about your one-year-old, your two-year-old, mm-hmm. or maybe your twins. Who knows? So thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you guys so much.
Okay. You're so welcome.
It's a really wonderful book.
Take care now.
Bye.
Let's take a listen now to some other parents talk about pregnancy.
This week I spoke with mothers and mothers-to-be about pregnancy.
So what would you say every woman should know before she gets pregnant?
I think for the most part, when you're feeling really cruddy, it does end. For most people, it ends, you know, around the 12th or 13th week. And then the second trimester, just in comparison, you feel terrific.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the last trimester, you really just want it over with because you're just enormous.
Definitely know a little bit more about pregnancy lifestyle, like what to avoid, what things to eat, what not to eat, what kinds of exercise to do, things like that.
The first time around, I heeded all the warnings about avoiding soft cheeses, and then I learned that what you should avoid is soft cheese made from unpasteurized milk, which is actually very, very hard to find in the United States. You know, get the facts, because there's a lot of misinformation out there, and everyone thinks they know what you should or shouldn't be doing when you're pregnant.
Oh, and sleep as much as you can, because you won't sleep afterwards.
How did your husband adjust to your changes?
All he's ever wanted is to be a dad, so he's been real supportive. And making sure I'm staying healthy, and he's been wonderful.
He went with me to every single doctor's appointment. With the first baby, he read to my belly.
He seems to get more sympathy pains and symptoms with each baby I have.
Oh, that's the other thing. Take advantage of your partner during this time. Like, make them work. Make them rub your feet. Make them get you ice cream. Because after the baby's born, they're less willing to do those favors.
The title of the show is The Joy of Pregnancy. So what would you say has brought you the most joy in your pregnancy?
Well, this time it's been really extraordinary watching my two older children experience this from their point of view, through their eyes, and seeing their excitement build as my belly gets bigger.
This sounds kind of weird, but I enjoyed the status of being pregnant. People smile at you, and they're very happy for you, especially if it's your first pregnancy, and they wish you well. And I had someone run after a bus and catch it for me.
Definitely feeling my baby move inside of me. It's crazy. I feel bonded to him already, but, you know, I can really tell the difference between when he's kicking or punching, and I can even feel when he's hiccuping, so that's a really, really cool thing.
For Childhood Matters, this is Anthony Giorgetti.
So it's nice to hear those voices. You know, Natalie, I want to ask you something. You work a lot with, again, young moms, many low-income moms.
Yes.
Do you hear about the joys of pregnancy as much, also with the concerns about getting good health care and having housing? Do you hear about the joys of pregnancy?
Yeah, I believe it's a mixed bag. You know, a lot of the clientele that participate in the Black Infant Health Program are missing something. There's something going on that is causing them some type of stressor. And what we try to do is try to engage that mother and try to decrease the stressor. So, you know, initially it's kind of a shock because most of the pregnancies are not planned. And so they're having to readjust and make sure that they're able to meet their own need as well as the new one who's coming along. So, yes, they are happy about the babies once they get over that initial shock. And I think that's kind of true for everyone, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah. And the reason I asked you that, because I think the work you do and the groups you have provide the kind of support that reduce the stress that allows the joy to be present.
Yes.
I think when you're worried about, is there a partner? Is there someone to help me? Is there food on the table? It's hard to be joyful.
Yes.
And so I think the work that you're all doing is to try and reduce that stress so that the ups and downs of pregnancy can occur.
Yes.
Naturally. Same thing for you, Tori, I'm sure, in working with families where you work. There are a lot of barriers to that joy.
Absolutely. And you know what? What's a very interesting thing is the smarter we are and the more we learn and the more we read doesn't actually make it more joyous for lots of women. And that's part of, you know, the title, The Joy of Pregnancy, isn't to say it's all fun. It's really to help people know it's just a natural, normal part of life. And there's so much information. And you know, a woman was talking about the soft cheese. Oh, I'm so glad she brought that up because there's such misinformation. And really, I just want people to help themselves to be as normal as they can. And, you know, the more we know, really, in some ways, makes us more worried. So it's a balance.
So we could get overly anxious and concerned, and so, like, every little thing is scaring us.
Yes.
Or we could sort of, like, not read enough and not get enough information so that we don't protect ourselves from the things we need to. So it is that fine middle ground, for sure. Yeah. Well, let's talk to another mom. So we have with us now Karma, and she's from Oakland. Hi, Karma.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Good.
Great.
So glad to hear from you.
Nice to hear from you today.
So what about this book? Did you get a chance to look at it?
I did. From preface to about halfway through, I've read it.
And what'd you think?
I really enjoyed it. I've been listening to you guys, and I just wanted to comment that finding the time to sit down and read a good book is the joy of pregnancy. When the world around you is really scary to be pregnant right now, financially or whatever your personal concerns are, when you sit down and you educate yourself about what's going on with your body and just get excited about the baby that you're bringing into this world, it's nice to have that book that's helping you escape into that world, that everything's going to be okay.
And
I've read a lot of pregnancy books, and some of them are really scary. My first pregnancy, the doctor actually told me to stop reading that book because I just kept going into the hospital and saying, well, I read that this might be happening to me, but this book is completely different. And when I read it, I felt like I was talking to one of my girlfriends.
That's great to hear. Thank you.
That's really good feedback. And do you have any fear or concern right now regarding your pregnancy that you want to ask about?
You know, I really don't.
Yeah, that's great.
Fear.
How far along are you?
You're due in August, is that right, Carmen?
I'm doing August.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I really like the Tori's tips. I enjoyed your expertise in there. You know, in the beginning, you talked about your husband and his contribution to your, credibility of the book. And your Tori's tips throughout the book is really nice. The pages of your baby, not the baby shower, but the checklist for the baby.
Yes.
Like 10, 15 pages long. I love that.
That's so great.
Yay, it's an in detail.
Yes, and on one page.
Yeah. You know, I think that's really interesting. Natalie, too, don't you find that the checklists are really important for moms to be and dads to be?
Yeah, it takes you from a place of just being overwhelmed to focusing in on some key things that you need to take care of before the baby gets there,
right.
and once, you know, the baby has arrived. So I think it kind of demystifies some things,
yes,
about what's needed and also provides clarity.
And, you know, a lot of times your friends will tell you what you need, and that may or may not be true. So I found just putting down some common sense stuff has so helped women.
Yes, and, you know, you get a little brain dead in the last trimester in terms of, like, you know, your mushy brain, and I think having these kinds of lists can really make a difference. So, Karma, how old are your other children?
I have a 10-year-old, a 4-year-old, and now this is my first son.
And so let me ask you, how's your 10-year-old doing with the idea of having another baby in the family?
She's doing okay. I haven't seen any, you know, red signals or anything. She actually is consumed with her little sister right now. So, and the baby is consumed with my tummy.
Yes. So what I want to mention is that the 10-year-old might take on a whole lot of responsibility and might, you know, there may be a way in which she might start to feel the pressure from that as things go along. And yes, she can be very helpful, and I think she will be helpful. But see if you can work it out, especially, you know, toward getting closer to the end, that you have a little time with her alone. Just mom and daughter time alone. If you can do something like that, just to keep reminding her that she's still your girl, she's still your little daughter, you know, even though she's 10. So that's the only thing I want to make sure you keep in mind. And Karma, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. And don't forget, join us on Facebook if you're on Facebook. And if you have any questions, you could always email us at info@childhoodmatters.org. Have a wonderful Mother's Day and a very happy Mother's Day to you. And we're talking about the joy of pregnancy, the struggles of pregnancy. We're looking forward to talking with a couple of more moms in just a moment.
This show was previously recorded, and we will not be taking calls.
Childhood Matters.
Helpful advice, inspiration, and resources for parents.
Get involved. Call 1-877-372-KIDS.
Read with your children to help them develop a love of books for life. Research shows that young children who read often with their parents and caregivers are better prepared when they start kindergarten. That's because reading builds confidence and vocabulary skills. Look for books that show the characters doing familiar things your child does, such as playing and eating. This keeps your child involved in the story. And remember to visit the library often. Libraries are a great place for kids to find lots of books on their favorite topics. Many libraries also offer story times. Ask librarians about free resources and activities you can do together. Don't forget to sign up for free library cards, too. For more information about the importance of reading, contact your local Bay Area First Five or visit firstfivekids.org/bay. That's first, the number five, kids.org/bay.
Finding help in the Bay Area is easier than ever before. Dial 211 to speak with a trained caring specialist who will match your needs with local services, including childcare, rent assistance, counseling, job services, health care, food, and so much more. Dial 211 for free confidential help, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Help starts here. Dial 211. 211 is a service of United Way, Eden I&R, and the Contra Costa Crisis Center.
One of the hardest things a parent faces is how to set clear limits with love. Here are some tips to keep in mind. Have clear rules and expectations. Have reasonable consequences for misbehavior and acknowledge respectful behavior. And try to understand why your child is acting out. Is it stress or anxiety? For more information and tips on how to discipline your child, visit www.childhoodmatters.org. And remember that world peace begins at home. This message is brought to you by the David B. Gold Foundation.
You can help your child excel in school by taking an active role in his or her education. Communicate with your child's teachers, especially in the early years. In honor of California Day of the Teacher on May 12, get involved in your children's education. Talk to them about what they learned in preschool or kindergarten. What is their favorite activity? What do they want to learn more about? Also, make regular contact with the teacher. Listen to what the teacher has to say about your child's learning style and skills, and stay connected to monitor your child's progress. For more information on early childhood education, contact your local Bay Area First Five County Commission by visiting first5kids.org/bay and first5california.com/parents. That's first5kids.org/bay and first5california.com/parents.
This show was previously recorded, and we will not be taking calls.
I think I'll call this man father.
Call him father.
I think I'll call him love.
Call him love.
Said I'm gonna call him father.
Call him father.
We
continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
A very happy Mother's Day to all. And those of you who are not a mom, you once had a mom. If you don't have a, if your mom's around, reach out to her. If not, spend a little time reflecting on the things you loved about your mom. And there are many women I know who don't have their own children who are wonderful mother figures and loving aunties and just, you know, friends, neighbors, and they take care of children and they love them with that motherly love. So I just want to give a little shout out to Zan, who's our producer, who is not a mom yet, but she has her lovely nieces who she takes good care of. So keep up the great work. We're talking with Tori Kropp, a perinatal nurse and the author of The Joy of Pregnancy, The Complete, Candid, and Reassuring Companion for Parents-to-Be, and Natalie Burbick, program manager with Brighter Beginnings Richmond Center, where she oversees the Black Infant Health Program in Contra Costa County. Let's take, we'll talk with Pascal. She's another woman who we sent The Joy of Pregnancy to. Hi, Pascal.
Hi, Rona.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. And you're in San Mateo, are you?
That's correct.
Okay. And what did you think about the book or any question you have about pregnancy? I know you are postpartum now. You had your baby, right?
Yes, that's right. So I had my son almost 11 months ago, and I picked up this book initially thinking, the joy of pregnancy. You know, I'm not sure that my experience with pregnancy felt particularly joyful as it was unfolding for me. So I had a lot of really bad morning sickness, actually, up until almost my 7th month.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working and doing a lot of other things, keeping busy, and so it was very difficult, I think, to really enjoy some of the things. But now, when I can kind of see the forest through the trees, you know, having my son with me and how, you know, much I love him and just adore being with him, I can kind of reflect back and see, I don't know, I think one of the things that in the book really impacted me was the idea of taking notes or doing a journal of some type during the pregnancy, and that wasn't something that I did, but I wish that it was something that I had taken the time to do. And now, you know, thinking back on it, really reflecting through reading this book, able to spot more of those joyful moments and wish that I kind of had the in the moment recollection of them written down someplace. So that was kind of what I had to add.
And, you know, that's such a wonderful thing to do. I think when something's going on, we think we'll remember, and we just don't. You know, it's sort of like right now with your 11-month-old, you think you'll always remember the thing that's happening, and in 5 years you won't. And to write it down is so wonderful to go back and reflect on. And also it can really help if you have emotions or if you have different feelings. And you can still journal some of those feelings now from your pregnancy as well as your child's growing.
Yeah, and putting down those little quotes as they start to talk.
And
too.
So funny. They're so funny.
And Natalie, in the work you do with women, do you ever have them journal or write about how they're feeling?
Yes, in the prenatal class that we recently ended last fall, we had each of the participants take home a parent handbook. And so it was an opportunity for them to reflect on what we covered in the group that day and then bring back their homework to the group and share, you know, what they were processing and, you know, what they took away from the previous session and, you know, what their hopes and fears are, you know, during this pregnancy. So there definitely is an opportunity for that.
Yeah, I think so. And Pascal, just for future shows that we do, are there any subjects that you would love us to talk about in the future?
Oh, my goodness, that's such a good question.
I know, I just suddenly thought of it. I thought, you know, here we are on Mother's Day and a lot of moms listening, dads too. You know, if you think of something, join us on Facebook. You could send us a suggestion there or email us. But if anything comes to your mind right now, you can tell me.
Well, I certainly have listened to some of your podcasts and for obvious reasons been interested in the sort of early childhood development.
Yeah.
You know, that's an interest of mine. So whatever opportunities you had for further shows on those issues, I think it's really interesting and
yes,
relevant personally for me right now. So.
Yes, child development, there's a lot there that we all, I think, really can learn a lot from. Pascal, happy Mother's Day to you, and thank you so much for joining our community.
Thank you so much, Rob. I love your show.
Bye-bye. You know, we have one of the women who read our book, and she had a question about food and health during pregnancy. And as we're finishing up here, maybe we can take a minute to talk about that. And she wanted to know, particularly, she's a Latina woman, and she wanted to know about any sort of like, you know, Mexican-style foods. Is there anything that's not safe? Any thoughts on that?
You know, really the only thing is the al fresco cheese that is sometimes used in Mexican cooking, want to make sure that that's pasteurized. And otherwise, just normal, good, healthy, not too greasy, not too much fat, but her normal, regular diet with that precaution.
So that's queso fresco.
Okay.
And just to make sure that
yes,
that's pasteurized. What are your standards? What do you tell women who you work with about how to eat healthy?
Well, we encourage our moms to make sure that they're incorporating fruits and vegetables, very, you know, rich, dark fruits and vegetables that carry a lot of nutrients and vitamins that you can get, you know, from your local farmer's market. You know, it's for the women in the community I serve, they don't always have a lot of access to those fresh foods, but we identify places in the community that either have a food bank or, you know, we offer the farmer's market in, you know, in the area. So we definitely encourage, you know, eggplant.
Kale.
Yes, all of that.
Spinach.
You know, absolutely.
That's great.
Yes.
And also, you know, good oils rather than a lot of margarine or butter.
Right.
And I think, you know, drinking enough water. You mentioned that in your
yes,
book, too, to, you know, like stick with the 6 to 8 at least.
Yes. And you know, water is great all the time, but your body really needs that extra fluid when you're pregnant.
And I think it's important for breastfeeding, and I want to say that a part of the prenatal care should also be talking about breastfeeding, because so
yes,
much more research keeps coming out all the time about how that will affect your child's life health for a lifetime. And
absolutely.
I would imagine you talk
yes,
with parents about breastfeeding.
Actually, we have a breastfeeding support group. We've collaborated with WIC in Contra
That's
Costa
great.
County, and we have a breastfeeding support group every other Monday. And, you know, the women who come to the breastfeeding support group, they haven't even delivered yet, but they want to understand how to prepare their breasts for that experience.
That's great.
And we really want to encourage them to continue breastfeeding. Firstly, it's so much better for one's budget, who's low income, to take advantage of breastfeeding, because formula is expensive, you know.
Right.
And, it truly is the best for your child, especially with right after birth, when with the colostrum and everything, you
yes,
want to make sure that your child's getting all those antibodies.
And then as
and
a society, we have to work on the barriers to
mm-hmm,
breastfeeding when women have to go back to work.
Absolutely.
And that's a whole show
yes,
we'll do separately.
Definitely.
But I'm sure that's a part of what you talk about all the time, isn't it?
Always, yes. Yes. And also to help women stay breastfeeding, because a lot of times they'll start, but it, as you said, we need to continue to support them as they get more challenges after the baby's born.
So, Tori, what's your website again? So people can, you know, all the questions we didn't have time to answer, they can find out about your blog, about your book.
It's thejoyofpregnancy.com. So just the same title, and please come. It's a wonderful spot.
And give us a final word on for anyone who's listening who is either now pregnant or thinking of becoming pregnant.
You know, really to know that so much of what you feel is normal. There are lots of women like you. And also to try not to have too many expectations of how it should be, to really just enjoy it as it comes.
That's a really good suggestion. And have the support and the time and space so that you can enjoy it and you can rest and prepare yourself, because, again, having a baby takes
yes,
a lot of energy and a lot of work.
Yes.
I really appreciate your book, and I loved your list also of Tori's index. And just one thing here, it's 2 million of the more than 4 million babies born each year belong to families with incomes below the poverty line. She has a whole list of interesting facts, so if you know someone who's pregnant, bring them meals, help them
mm-hmm,
out. And Natalie Burbick, How can people find out about Brighter Beginnings?
You could find out more information about Brighter Beginnings at our website at www.brighter-beginnings, that's with an S, .org.
And a final word?
Praise and acknowledge your mothers for all the sacrifice and the love, and, you know, lift them up whenever you see them. And we love our moms. We do. And, mm-hmm. and we're happy that they made the choice to have us.
And, you know, I agree. And I think it's important to know that moms do the best they can with what they have.
Yes.
And, you know, we all make lots of mistakes. Mm-hmm. And we learn. And if we could stay connected with our kids, it's a blessing. It's
yes.
a real blessing. So I
Absolutely.
Want to thank both of you for being here today.
It's been such a pleasure.
On Mother's Day. And thank you to our guests and our listeners. And I'm really grateful to our team. Zan West is senior producer, associate producer Lacey Daniel, assistant producer Felsha Zuschlag, Lorenzo Plazola at the controls, Peter B. Collins of Collins Media Services. I'm forever grateful to my kids, Pei, Mara, Matt, and Karina. And a happy birthday to my son, Matt, who was born on Mother's Day. This is Rona saying goodbye until next week. And parents, remember, spend time with your child and don't forget to take real good care of yourself. Childhood matters, and so do you.
You've been listening to Childhood Matters.
Produced by Collins Media Services and presented by the nonprofit Interactive Parenting Media. Join us again for Childhood Matters. Find out more at childhoodmatters.org.